morning. Lord, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Give him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sing this little chorus. Sometimes it's hard to remember. Sometimes it's even hard to do. But if we can just thank him, he deserves it. Yes. Oh, we.
my father, then my mother, then my sister, my brother too. Lord, and you brought me, yes, you brought me a mighty long way. Let's sing it together. Oh, I thank you. Brought us a mighty long way. Amen. God bless you richly this morning. Well, for those of you that weren't here Wednesday night, we have a new deacon. Brother Hoover, the board had voted quite a few months ago and had agreed that he would make a good fit for a deacon, but he took some time in prayer deciding on it, and so we've decided to start this morning having him in that capacity, and then after the first of the year sometime when we have our annual elections and the church will vote if they decide, thank you, if they decide to keep him in that office. So we certainly appreciate Brother Hoover and Sister Hoover and the Hoover family. Sister Stephanie Duval had wrote a thank you card to the church, and I just want to compliment. She makes some of the prettiest cards, I think, of anybody that I've seen. She does a wonderful job. Her and my sister Debbie, I always love getting their cards. They make cards better than Hallmark ever could. So, says, dear Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca in Church of the Open Door, I don't have adequate words to say thank you for all the prayers, kind words, texts, messages, cards, and flowers sent during this time of loss for my family and I. Especially thank you for coming up to the memorial service for my sister. There is no words to express the heartfelt thanks and appreciation from me and my family for the great efforts of kindness. What a wonderful church family I have the privilege to be a part of, this family of God. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you all, and may God richly bless each one of you in Christian love, Sister Stephanie Duval. So we certainly appreciate that, and we've been praying for her and her family during this time, and have several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Gary Simmons is traveling to Georgia for his dad's memorial service, so I want to remember him in prayer during this time, and also his family, and for him for traveling mercies. And then Sister Lisa Bruce requested prayer for Sister Savannah Fast, who's going to the doctor tomorrow for pain-related issues, and also she requested prayer for Brother Doug Bruce, so I want to remember both of them in prayer this morning. And Sister Amanda Scott, from my Uncle Jeff's church in Delaware, had sent a text to me and Sister Rebecca last night requesting prayer. She's having an endoscopy on Wednesday due to some issues she's having swallowing, so I want to remember that situation in prayer. And then also I want to continue to remember those churches in Angola that are being persecuted by their government. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Ben, would you come this morning, just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. Good to have them back. They've been out of town. Then Sister Crystal was not feeling well, but good to see them back with us. Appreciate you, brother.
Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, that where you brought us from, Lord, it's been a long way, Lord, and sometimes it's been hard for others, but Lord, we just thank you that you're always there, Lord. You're the ever-present help in the time of trouble, Lord. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, lift our voices, Lord, and worship you, Lord. Lord, we just want to pull on the gift this morning, Lord. Just be with the speaker, Brother Nathan, this morning, Lord. Anoint him, Lord. Anoint us to hear, Lord, and to receive and to act upon, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with these prayer requests this morning, Brother Gary on the road, Lord. Sister Amanda Scott, Lord. You know the need there. Just completely touch her and heal her. Lord, be with the Bruce family, Brother Doug, and Sister Savannah, Lord. The others that any unspoken requests this morning, Lord, you know every need, every thought that's in my heart, Lord. Lord, just anoint us this morning and draw us closer to you and just get us ready for your rapture, Lord. We just praise your name. We love you. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you pray. Amen.
Good morning again, church.
This morning we're going to read the 52nd chapter of the book of Psalms. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah.
The righteous also shall see thee and shall laugh at
thee. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Amen. Yes, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before all thy saints. God bless you. Please be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Courtney Vaughn. bless you, Sister Courtney. Sure appreciate that. What a wonderful message. This time we have a special from Brother, if you don't bring your notes up here, you forget Brother Luke, Sister Stephanie, and Brother Elijah Nicholson. God bless you. Sure appreciate that. God bless you. That was wonderful. Thankful for his mercy, aren't you? The brothers would please come. Brother requested that we sing this, and I think it's a wonderful song to follow that up with. This is 319 in your handbook. Thankful for the blood. It's my favorite thing to sing about. Amen.
Oh, that blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary. to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day.
God bless you richly this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I just want to look at one verse there this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Still looking at how to deal with a critical spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, I just ask that you'd come on the scene for us again. Lord, we thank you for the songs of Zion that we've sang, Lord, and for the special singers, Lord, and Lord, for each one that's gathered here in divine presence, Lord, for the musicians and the deacons and the trustees and the song leaders and each member of the laity, Lord, that's come to do their part in this service. And Lord, we just ask that you take complete control again this morning, Lord, may you just come on the scene in a special way. Maybe there's some that, Lord, they're struggling with things. Lord, maybe they have questions. Maybe they have trials. Maybe they have pressures, Lord, whatever it would be. Lord, may you just come and help me as an individual, Lord, to just get myself out of the way so that you could come and you could do the anointing. And, Lord, that you could come and encourage hearts, Lord. And Lord, anoint those that are sitting here present. Lord, I pray that they would be able to receive, Lord, not from a man, but, Lord, as we look into the scriptures and the quotes and the things that you've laid on my heart, Lord, may they receive from the word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And just want to say again, I mentioned it last Sunday, and I'll just mention it again, not to try to promote our services or my sermons, but if you're listening to this series, for those that have been here, maybe this is the third service, I think, on dealing with the critical spirit. And if you catch maybe just one or two of the services, I would recommend that that you go back and listen to the rest of it, if you have the ability to, because some of the things that I'm looking at and dealing with in this series, we might bring it really strong one way in one service, and if you came and you heard that, you think, oh, goodness, that's wonderful, and go out, and then if you don't look at the rest of it, it may not bring a balance, because we're looking at it several different ways and different things here, so I would encourage you to try to do that, just so that you don't either get the wrong balance or think that I'm trying to bring the wrong balance, because we'll be looking at it for a few weeks here over a period of time, and just looking at this thought of dealing with this critical spirit. I know we've been looking at a lot on judging in these first few services, and maybe the next service or two we'll be looking at that as well. That's part of what a critical spirit is and what it does. We begin to look around and externally judge people and think, well, you know, this brother, we think this about him, or that brother, or we heard this or we heard that, and we begin to make our preconceived ideas and preconceived judgments. We prejudge people, and that's what we're looking at, is that we're not the judge. It is God that is the judge. Yet we find out that the saints will judge the earth, and yet we looked at the scripture just last week, how that the scripture said, judge nothing before the time, and that time was the coming of the Lord. So we can judge a situation, and we can judge a circumstance. As I gave the example last week, if there's something that you know there's a problem and something that you don't want your children associated around or whatever it would be, we have the right and we have the ability to judge the circumstance and to judge the situation and say, look, we'd rather not be associated with that, or we'd rather not our children participate in that. I'm not saying that we throw out counseling and that we throw out using judgment, but we want to make sure that we judge the spirits. The Bible said try the spirits, as we looked at last week. Didn't say try the individual, didn't say try the churches, said try the spirits. And we find if we do that, if we had been, as I mentioned last Sunday, back in the days of the Apostle Paul, and we had judged him as a person for the works that he was doing under the spirit that he was anointed under before he had an experience with God, we would have been found judging him before time and judging incorrectly. If we would have judged him when he was standing there holding the coats of Stephen, or of the men that stoned Stephen, And when he was persecuting the church and putting him in jail, if we would have judged him, even judging him as a person by the word, it looked like he was wrong. It looked like he was in error, and he was, but it was just a spirit that was anointing him at that time. But when he comes around and gets baptized with the Holy Spirit, it was a completely different story. So we have to be careful to judge the spirit and not to judge the person, because we don't know what the end of that person will be. We don't know what condition they'll wind up in. They could repent. They could come around. We could go along and find out that we were wrong on some things and have to come back around and say, goodness gracious, I thought you was crazy, and I found out I was wrong on some things. So we have to give God time to sort things out so we don't judge in that way. Yet we absolutely can judge the spirit of something, and we have to be careful. Paul, speaking here, says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We find when Brother Branham was there at the Sam Houston Coliseum, and Dr. Best standing there, and you know, no doubt Brother Branham, with the gift that he had and the anointing that he had and the knowledge of the word that he had, he could have come and tied Dr. Best in knots and chewed him up and spit him out, as we would say. But he didn't even want to go into it as far as to debate and argue with a man. Brother Bosworth steps up, and he said, look, there won't be any arguing, but let me just go talk the scripture with him. And Brother Bosworth did his best to do that. Yet Dr. Best making personal attacks and making it a personal issue. But we find the prophet of God comes down very humbly, speaks very nicely to Dr. Best, doesn't call him an idiot, doesn't say that he's serpent seed, but he talks to him and he disagrees with the spirit that's on the man and the motive of the man to try to, he said, you know, rob the hope that the people would have of divine healing. Why would anybody want to take that away from him when it's there in the scripture and the dual atonement and all that? But he didn't come down and scream and holler at Dr. Best like Dr. Best was at Dr. Bosworth. He didn't get in his face and call him names, and he didn't go around the country and try to just give him a bad name everywhere he went from then on. So we find there's a difference between battling the flesh and battling the spirits. And we have to be careful when we go to look at a situation that we deal with the spirit and not with just battling our brothers or our sisters, because we don't know what the end of that person will be. And Brother Bam said many times, it's not that person. Maybe you have somebody in your family right now that they just absolutely disagree with your stand on the word. Maybe they're a nominal Christian. Maybe they're an atheist. Maybe they're a message believer that just sees it differently than you do. And they're constantly, every time you get around them, trying to say something critical and trying to run you down to other people and things like that. Recognize that's not that person, but it's a spirit on that person that's anointing them. Brother Branham made the statement one time. He said, that brother came to him and said, Brother Branham, how can you stand there and let these things be said, even involving your family, and not rile back and not try to do things about it? He said, brother, that was just a trial that was predestinated to me before the foundation of the world. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to go out and get that guy that's saying these things, and I'm going to smear his name all over the country, and I'm going to put it in magazines and newspapers. He said, it's just a trial that was predestinated to me before the foundation of the world. So I think if we can look at it in that way, that when something happens, if we can go to our knees for that brother and sister and recognize, look, it's not that brother, it's not that sister. That's just a spirit that is allowed to be anointing them for this season, and we don't know what their end will be. We pray that God would take that from them and that we could go on and grow together closer to the kingdom of God. If you really have the real genuine article, that's how you feel. If not, you'll get bitter towards that person. You'll hate that person. You'll begin to go around and smear that person's name, and you'll try to get everybody on your side, all your Facebook friends and your Twitter friends and your church friends and your work friends, and you'll just run that person down to where nobody would believe them if they'd say good morning hardly. But Brother Bam didn't teach us to do that. The scriptures didn't teach us to do that. It said to love those that hate you and to pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, that's an easy one to read and to quote, but it's another thing to put it into action sometimes. But when we can recognize it's not that person that's doing those things, maybe terrible things, maybe evil things, maybe you have things in your past, that things that people have persecuted you or abused you or attacked you verbally or ran you down or things like that, and you can look back and hate that person and be bitter till the day you die, or you can look back and realize that was a spirit of the devil that was anointing that person and pray for their lost soul, that God will get a hold of them. Amen. Well, it depends on if we want to fight with the flesh or if we recognize that it's a spiritual warfare. Questions and Answers, 1954. Brother Bam says, Jesus, he loved the people. He even gave his life there for those Pharisees that were crucifying him. And he prayed for their forgiveness, but yet he said, you generation of vipers, snakes in the grass, and so forth like that. He wasn't exactly talking to the being, the human being. It was a spirit. I look at Peter coming behind him, said, oh, Lord, you can't do that. He turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art always an offense to me. He wasn't speaking to the apostle. He was the fountain of truth, and it was a spirit that was on that apostle that was making him say that, you see. See, he wasn't speaking to Peter. He loved him, see. He loved him. And no, he was to be the head of the church at Jerusalem, but he wasn't going to speak back to Peter. He was speaking to the spirit that was causing Peter to hinder the works of God. You get it? I was reading a quote yesterday. He was talking about how a lying spirit can get on your child. And he said, that child, if it's got a stubborn spirit and they begin to lie in things, he said, you could beat that child till they didn't have any clothes on them, and it'll never take care of that spirit. He said, the only thing that'll do it is prayer.
I'm not teaching you don't discipline your children. I'm just teaching you use some common sense that sometimes the belt and the switch and the timeout and the whatever it is, taking away toys and taking away devices and things, it has a limit to where sometimes if a child is stubborn enough, they aren't going to care what you do. Why? Because it's a spirit that's anointing that child, and the only thing that's ever going to save it from that is the prayer of a godly mother and father, or the prayer of somebody that's concerned to pray and ask God to take that spirit off of the child. So when we discipline our children, it's not because we hate the child, but it's because we want to see that child grow up to something of a character and of the use that God predestinated him to be. Sometimes, you know, a brother was telling me last night, he believed that God called his child into the world to go get ice cream for him at the grocery store once he got a driver's license. Well, it may be. Amen. God does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Amen. I don't know, but God calls us here for a purpose. Amen. If we can get the child to recognize, look, you're here for a purpose, whatever that purpose would be, and to influence that child, look, don't let Satan drag you down away from the purpose that God had in your life for you. See, Satan wants to get in the middle, and he wants to start at an early age. Maybe, you know, and I hope some of you young people, you know, 5 to 95, will listen up this morning. Satan will allow somebody with a critical spirit like we're talking about this morning to come, and at a young age he'll begin to attack. And maybe you have a gift to sing or to play music, or maybe you have a quirky little personality that you just like to joke around and be silly, and there's something about it. People get around you and they're so depressed and down, and there's just something about you when you get around you. Maybe a little 5-year-old kid, and they just want to run through the house and skip and giggle, and somebody gets around them for a little bit and it's contagious, and they begin to think, goodness gracious, I don't feel so bad. You know, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing it. My Aunt Wanda had gone through a divorce when I was a little bitty boy, and she was about to lose her mind, and that she'd kind of been given an ultimatum, choose the message or choose her husband, and so she chose the right way and stuck with the Lord and with the truth. And so he left her because of it, and she was just mentally going through oppressions and things. And she said she'd come over to our house sometimes, or sometimes I'd call her and say, come over and have some biscuits and gravy with us this morning, ain't one. And she said it got her through some of the darkest times of her life. I didn't know what I was doing, Sister Jeannie. I was just a little boy trying to call somebody and talk to him, and you know, I didn't know how it was affecting her. But sometimes as a little child, things like that are placed within you, a gift or whatever it is, and don't think that the devil won't try everything he can to squash that, to hinder it, to put some obstacle in your way, to put some old hypocrite in your way, to make you to give up on people and say, well, I tried to help this one and they hurt me and they hurt my feelings and they took advantage of my kindness, so I'll just, bless God, I'll just never be kind to anybody again. Don't you realize that's the enemy trying to crush that gift that God has placed in your life? Well, I got up and sang, and you know, I got a little bit off key, and one of the kids made fun of me, and I guess, bless God, I'll never sing again. I got up to pray and my voice cracked, and I heard somebody on the back right chuckle a little bit, and bless God, I'll never get up to pray again. Or, oh, I got up to play the piano and I dropped the songbook all over the keys, or I hit the wrong note, and bless God, I'll never do it. Don't you realize that's the enemy trying to let a critical spirit from somebody else hinder the work of God in your life? Oh, I'd be a preacher, but people are so negative. I feel a call in my life, but I know what it would be like. I know how people would persecute me and attack me. Don't you realize it's Satan with a critical spirit trying to hinder the work of God in your life? Mm. And so we build up complexes. Well, so-and-so said this, and they said I didn't sing it as good as Sister so-and-so, and they like Brother so-and-so's preaching better than me, and they think this brother's a deeper teacher than I am, and they think this brother has it memorized better than I am, so I guess I'll just sit down and quit. Oh, well, don't you realize the tactics of the enemy? Sometimes our pride is the biggest hindrance in the work of God, because the enemy will come in and whisper a little something in our ear, and our pride says, well, bless God, I'll never do that again. Bless God, I'm not going to make a spectacle of myself. I'm not going to go back to that church and you know, so-and-so, they laughed at the color of my tie, or they laughed because my pockets were inside out, or whatever it be. Satan will do anything he can to discourage you. But recognize, even sometimes if it's somebody with a critical spirit, that it's Satan that's anointing them with that spirit. It's not that person. It's not that individual. And you can turn around. Maybe even sometimes you have to say something harsh and cutting. You know, hey, look, leave me alone, or hush your mouth, or whatever it be. Jesus called them snakes in the grass and vipers. But he also, Brother Branham clarifies, that he wasn't talking to that individual. It wasn't that he was calling Caiaphas a viper. It was that he was calling that spirit on him that was anointing him to do those things. That, amen. We have to be careful when we're dealing with situations to clarify, look, it's not you that I'm angry at. It's that spirit that's anointing you. Maybe they won't like that either, but hey, we want people to recognize, look, we aren't against the individuals. We aren't against people. I don't hate anybody but the devil. You realize even a man as evil and as wicked as Hitler, that any one of us probably in our humanity would think that he deserved death and punishment and whatever it would be because of his evil works. He couldn't have done those things if it hadn't been an evil spirit that was anointing him. Jesus Christ died to save Judas. He died to save Hitler. He died to save Mussolini and all these men, if they could have accepted it and come the scriptural way. But a spirit began to creep in and attach it. You realize that the same grace that saved the children of Israel could have saved Pharaoh if he would have applied the token to his house. His oldest child wouldn't have had to die. Same blood, same atonement, same word. But he couldn't receive it. Why? Because the spirit was anointing him to blind him from seeing it. Brother Bam says in Blasphemous Names, 1962, talk about a tape that's hard on denominations. He calls them names of blasphemy from the scripture. He brings out the diaglot and he said it was blasphemous names is what these denominations are. But let's listen to the rest of the story. Listen to what else he says. Sometimes they take these things and it gets out amongst the brethren in churches of other churches. And when they do that, then the brethren sometimes gets the wrong impression that I'm saying something about brethren, but I'm not. If you could just listen and understand, see, I am not speaking against any brother. So why is it that so many message preachers, whatever side or camp or flavor or group they're from, get up and attack other brothers and other individuals? He said, I'm not speaking against any brother. Because that's not becoming to brethren to speak against each other. Oh, my goodness. Take us back to church, Brother Branham. That's not becoming to brethren to speak against each other. We should speak for one another, not against each other. But when I speak sometime of a certain organization, he says like Presbyterian, Methodist, or so forth, they say, see, he's against it. I'm not against the brother in there or the sister in there. The system that's separating brotherhood is what I speak against. God's children are one family and not of different groups. And some of them say, I'll have nothing to do with it because that's Presbyterian and I'm Methodist. See, now that isn't it. See, it's the system of that organization that breaks up that brotherhood. See, now just bring that on down into our message ranks and whatever title it be. Bless God, I'm Thunders. I'm not going to fellowship with them. They're Perusia. Bless God, I'm Two Lords. I'm not going to fellowship with them. They're Return. Bless God, I'm of this group. I'm of this brother. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. Paul said, are you not carnal? It's the system of that organization that breaks up that brotherhood. See, now that, like I've said, if you were going down the river in an old shaggy looking boat was going to try to make the falls, and I know that that isn't going to work, well, then I'm not screaming, rebuking you. I'm trying to get you out of that boat, see, because it's the boat that's going to break up, and you'll be left sitting alone in the water. So it's not the brother in the boat, but I'm hollering at the brother to show him what's fixing to happen. Amen. So when we get up and we preach so hard on some of these things and cry out against the spirits and the doctrines and the creeds and the dogmas of man-made legalism and man-made opinion, it's not the brothers that we're attacking. It's not the sisters that we're attacking. It's not the churches that we're attacking. But it's a spirit that would come and try to separate and divide and try to take you back into the bondage that we came out of. You realize after the children of Israel came out of bondage, and here God had delivered them with a mighty hand, and here Moses brings them out. All they had known was the taskmaster's whip. All they had known was bondage and hunger and working all day to come home and their wife patch up their stripes on their backs where they'd been beaten with a whip and maybe take some herbal remedies and mix it together and paste it all over their back to try to get those sores and blisters and calluses on their hands and things. Maybe they were so sore from dragging old stones around and things. And God brings them out with a strong hand and he says, sends a prophet, says, let my people go. And they come out with plagues and signs and miracles and wonders, and they get out in the desert and they begin to complain and they begin to argue and they begin to talk against God's prophet, and they say, oh goodness gracious, who does this guy think he is? We're thirsty and we're hungry, and oh, we'd be better off if we died back in Egypt. And a spirit attaches onto them that was constantly trying to get them, go back to Egypt. You'd have been better off back in Egypt to the taskmaster's whip, to no freedom, no choice of your own, to live under an oppressor, to live under some Pharaoh or some ritualistic something. That constantly they're telling Moses, we'd have been better. Oh, to God that we would have died in Egypt. Well, maybe some of them would have been happier back there, but they must have been out of their mind to go back to the taskmaster's whip from the freedom of a message of deliverance that called them out. Didn't mean they didn't have any more trials. Didn't mean they didn't have any more troubles. But the freedom of God, there's something about the liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And then if we're not careful, we let man-made rituals and dogmas and putrefied garbage drag us back to the very thing that a prophet came to get us out of. And we give it different titles. Of course, maybe some of us would never go back to Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal. So we come up with our new titles and our new groups and our new organizations. Well, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 29. For why, we looked at this last week, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? You remember this word, krino. It was a Greek word meant to judge, to separate, to try to pass judgment on somebody, to sit and to try to sit as judge and judge what somebody else should do. He said, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, we dealt with this a little bit last week, and in studying this week, I just felt, we just seems like every time I preach on this series, I have, about the normal amount of notes that I normally have for a sermon. I get maybe halfway through it, and time's up already, And so I don't know how far we'll get to this morning, but I began to look at that scripture again this week, and I thought, goodness gracious, we could preach on that a little while longer.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
We looked at it last week. Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Why should another man, not something, I'm not talking something scriptural. We know what the word says. We know what the word teaches. We've read the Bible. We've read the message. We know what these things are. We know what the standards are that we should raise up. But then what happens is men, as men always are, we have this nature that it seems like that's not enough for us to just come and obey the word and accept God's grace and mercy to us and come his provided way. But we always have something that we want to put into it and that we want to add to it and that, well, I think it should be this way, and I think it should be that way. And so then if we're not careful, we have men that come and they dictate to us the color of clothes we should wear. Bless God, Brother Layton, I don't think a minister should wear a striped shirt, and I don't think they should wear this color tie or this color shirt and all these things. No quote or no scripture. What is it? A man's opinion. Now, I'm not going to re-preach Brother Trevor's sermon to you, but you remember in the Church Age series that he's been taking us through, how that he showed us the difference between a doctrine and a creed, and that a doctrine was something that had a foundation in the Word, that we could take it back and plainly see the doctrines in the Word, a revelation of it, something that would come to us and say, oh my, I see it from Genesis to Revelations. I see it from 47 to 65. But a creed or a dogma or some man made bottomless pit, as Brother Branham would call it. He'd say, oh goodness, that's harsh, Brother Nathan. That's what Brother Branham said. He said the Catholic Church was a bottomless pit because she had no foundation for her doctrine. So if somebody else comes along and has no foundation for their doctrine, it's the same thing. Just because they don't have the name of a Catholic, if the shoe fits, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a bottomless pit if it has no foundation for its doctrine. It's not a doctrine then, right? It's a creed. It's a dogma. It's something man-made that was made up. But when we can go back to the Word and we have a foundation, Paul said, be careful on what foundation you build. No other foundation but that of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had come and laid a sure foundation. And he said, I build, and be careful each man how he builds to. He came around and said, if any man teach anything besides the words that I've spoken, let him be accursed, even if it's an angel from God, even if it was Paul himself, even if it was some other man. He said, let him be accursed. So we want to make sure we're careful of the foundation that we build something on. Amen. And some of these things come and they, you know, begin to drag us right back in to the same old bondage that we came out of. Man-made legalism. Teachings of man, doctrines of men. He said, what do? With your doctrines of man, you void the commandments of God. You raise your doctrines of man up higher and respect them more than the commandments of God. And he says, why? Paul says, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Why is it that another man would tell me where I could send my kids to school, or what color shirt I could wear, or what type of toys my children can play with? Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Well, praise the Lord. Some of you, you know, and I'll get a little personal this morning, and and some of these things, and you might say, oh, bless God, I know who he's talking about, because I grew up in this church or that church or that church. But let me just say, I think any of these things that I'll address with this morning is not limited to a church or a personality, but these things go on all over the world. So we'll just deal with some of these things and break some of these commandments of man this morning, if that's all right. If it offends you, just slip on out and pray for me, all right? Some of you grew up in churches where the pastors would say, hey, there's any man that has a beard, he's trying to hide something. He has something to hide. And so they preached against beards, you know, and I would too if I had a quarter of scripture for it, but I just haven't been able to find one. So I just set that aside as a doctrine of man and a creed that has no foundation for it. Some brothers preach against mustaches, or they used to, of course, until we found a picture of Brother Branham with a mustache, and now they kind of leave the mustaches alone. They moved on to the goatees. And I would preach just as hard as I could against them too, Brother Jimmy, if I had a quote or a scripture to do it. But you know, actually, Brother Branham said, in one place he said, by rights a man shouldn't shave his lip because all the nerves and things come together. So if anything, I have a quote to tell you not to shave more than I do to shave. Some of you bearded brothers are amening back there. Bless God. It's about time he got on this. I've been praying and seeking and fasting. We used to go to camps, you know, me and my brother. And when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I had a goatee and he had a goatee. And we'd go in, they'd just preach as hard as they could against goatees. And I'd look around and think, well, you know, I didn't see any scripture quotes for that. But all right, that's okay. That's their opinion. But when it comes to impressing our opinions on other people, what are we doing? Trying to judge somebody else's liberty by our conscience. Well, I don't think, and I don't believe, and I don't see. So, well, that's fine. If you're convicted to do something, don't do it. Paul said, as we looked at last week, he said, those that eat meat, eat it unto the Lord. And those that don't eat meat, don't eat it unto the Lord. Those that respect one day above another, respect it unto the Lord. And those that respect all days the same, they do that unto the Lord. So don't, you know, don't dispute with one another. Somebody says, well, bless God, I just, you know, I lean this way and I don't see this. And I say, you know, we'll just get in all kinds of trouble this morning. You know, there's some families around the message. They say, well, Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach. So when I have a stomach ache, I drink me a glass of wine. Hey, I don't have a scripture or quote to tell you can't. But as for the Bryant house, I know what our past is and what my granddaddy was and what my great-great-granddaddy was and all the way back. And I figure I just better to stay away from it than to partake of it. But I don't have a place to tell you, thus saith the Lord, it's a sin to drink wine. Jesus turned a lot of water into wine one time. But if you're not careful, you begin to lean on that as a crutch and you become a wine bibber, like the Bible talked about. Well, you know, if one glass is good, then three glasses is better. And if three glasses is good, then why not the whole bottle? You know, we don't want to let any waste. And so you can let the enemy begin to work on you with those things. So you have to know your personality. Like I got in trouble last week, you know, talking about the dice versus the spinners and things like that. And if you have a gambling spirit on you and you're tempted to go out there and bet somebody you can roll snake eyes or whatever, then you should stay away from it. But if it's not a hindrance to you, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things aren't expedient. Amen. In other words, there's some people that maybe for them to go do something, it wouldn't be expedient for them. They'd get in a whole lot of trouble if they started to go down that path, and somebody else might not bother them at all. All things are lawful. It's what we do with it. It's how we, you know, how we go about it. It's what the spirit and the motive behind something is. So why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Oh my, getting quiet in here already. It's hardly noon. You know, it's been told around this area and other places for years that Brother Bram said that Rickies and Rickettas, only Rickies and Rickettas drove Mustangs, so Mustangs were banned from message churches. And if you came up in one, you was talked about. Well, I just found one problem with that. And you know, there's a brother in my office a few months ago. He was standing there and we got to talk about that. And I said, pull up your cell phone. He got up his cell phone. I said, open up your table app and type in Mustang or Mustangs or Mustanged or Mustanger or whatever you want to type in. And, no quotes, zero quotes. I said, no quotes. But Brother So-and-so said that Brother So-and-so said that Brother So-and-so said, well, he told me to say what the tapes say. He told me to say what the tapes say. Now, he does say hot rod. He does say hot rod, so you have to be careful. You know, when Brother Donnie came and preached for us, so I picked him up at the hotel. Me and Rebecca picked him and Sister Carol up, and he got in my Dodge Charger and closed the door. He said, well, I know what I'm preaching on this weekend, these preachers and their hot rod cars. Of course, he had had a 300M with the same engine and chassis, just slightly different, you know, framed, and so I didn't feel too bad about it. But so you got to watch it. It's the spirit on the thing. I can't tell you. Now, I know Brother Hoover would love to tell you back there that, you know, that Toyotas are the car that if Jesus was here, he would be driving a Toyota. But I said, Brother Hoover, you got it all wrong. They were in one place in one accord. So I don't have a car brand that I can tell you. I know people, you know, my in-laws, they love a Ford, and they're always giving me grief about things that Brother Branham said about a Ford. And I texted him a quote the other day. Brother Branham said, maybe your Chevrolet is better. I said, it is also written. So maybe that'll keep them off my back for a little bit until they find another Ford quote. I don't have a brand or a model that I can tell you, absolutely, bless God, thus saith the Lord, drive this and don't drive that. That's your opinion. That's your conviction. That's your preference. Amen. Some people, you couldn't give them anything but a Ford, and some people, you couldn't give them anything but a Chevy, and some people have a, you know, a hodgepodge of all kinds of GMs and whatever it would be, all kinds of mix in their family, whatever it would be. So, you know, whatever God leads you to drive, you just, whatever you can afford and you think you can get you down the road, you go right ahead. But we go back to the Word, not to just some opinion or personality or whatever it would be. Then, you know, of course, the guitars got picked on by a lot of different brothers around the message. You know, I'd hear that everywhere I went. Oh, Brother Bam was against guitars. And I'd scratch my head and think, you know, well, here I have a picture of him standing there with Sister Hope and her with the mandolin, him with the guitar around his neck. I thought, that'd be kind of hypocritical, wouldn't it, Brother Jimmy, to be so against him and be standing there with one around your neck and get a picture. And then I found a few years later a picture of the William Branham Evangelistic Campaign. And there it was, bass fiddles and violins and cellos and guitars and banjos and all things. I thought, well, goodness gracious, why am I being judged my liberty by some other man's conscience? And then I began to search and found out, he said, in one place there in 1958, he said, we used to be down on the corner with the guitar and salvation, but then we got into our big morgues and things with our million-dollar pipe organs. I thought, well, glory. And then, of course, people really tense up. You know, I think we're the only church within a few hundred miles that's got a set of drums, and people really don't know how to handle that. You know, they aren't used to that. And so I've told people, you know, I've made it an open invitation. Show me a quote or show me a scripture where Brother Branham said that the drums were wrong in church, and I'll pack them up in storage next week. I promise you, all right? But I found that he said Elisha, when he got his dandruff all worked up and the minstrel began to play, he said they began to beat the drums and Elisha began to pat his foot. And I find that David said, play with the loud sounding cymbals and play on the drums and all these things. I think, well, goodness, well, they're just trying to rob us of fulfilling scripture. I find that in 1951 there, Brother Bram said, we're going to have the boys group come up and play Cloud and Fire. And the piano player begins to play Cloud and Fire, and you hear cymbals and drums and snares and all kinds of things. I thought, well, goodness gracious, why have I been letting my liberty be dictated by some other man's conscience? Oh, my. There's some families that they believe that you have to fast after communion. Well, if that's your conviction, then praise God, you should do that. If you feel convicted that you shouldn't eat after communion, but I don't have a quote or a scripture to tell anybody that they can't eat after communion. So what do most families do? It becomes a legalistic thing, and they just hunger and thirst for righteousness on up till midnight, and then they think, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. It's Monday. Thank God for Monday. I've never been so happy to see Monday in all my life. And condemn me if I eat a cheeseburger at 11:59. Brother Nathan. Now, Brother Nathan, you know better. Don't you know Brother so-and-so said this and this brother? Don't condemn me by some other man's conscience, but if you got a quarter of scripture, I'd be happy to tell my family, hey, I don't care if you're hungry. I don't care if you're pregnant. I don't care if you're about to have a hypoglycemic attack and pass out. We ain't doing it because the word said not to. But until then, you judge your conscience by your liberty and your liberty by your conscience, and let me judge mine by my own, okay? Well, praise the Lord. Oh, we've had brothers preach on Christmas trees and Christmas and all kinds of things, and I could get into some things that people have told me locally and things that might really shake you up and things and scare you and think, oh, goodness, I hope Brother Nathan doesn't ever do that at Church of the Open Door the way Brother Branham used to do it. But we'll just stay on what's on the tapes. Is that okay? I'll just stick to that so I don't totally shock you and make you pass out. But he said, I got a little boy back there. I think it's in, let's see. This is in God's wrapped gift in 1960. He said, I got a little boy back there that's still small enough to want a Christmas tree. Goodness gracious, this same man that said that it was a pagan ritual and things? Absolutely, yeah. I don't bow down and prostrate myself before the tree and say, oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Amen. I don't worship the tree. I don't sacrifice to the tree. We put some boxes under it. We like the smell when we come inside sometimes of a winter there, you know, and... Oh, Brother Nathan, you're going to have people leave the church. You're just being too honest and transparent. Well, I had a good example. Jesus, he was honest and transparent. He'd go about healing people on the Sabbath day, even though it wasn't popular, and those priests hated him for it. And, oh, my, he'd go through, and his disciples would eat the corn and things. And they'd say, oh, your disciples shouldn't be doing that. He'd remind them, hey, don't you remember what David did? Yes. Don't you remember there's restitutions back here in the Word for these things? So. Yeah. Amen. Brother Branham was pretty transparent. He'd talk about songs that they talked about and songs that they sang. And even there he is coming down through in a vision. He said, I heard that song, the wheel on the wagon is broken. Somebody said, you shouldn't sing no songs that don't have the name of Jesus in them. Well, goodness, somebody forgot to tell Brother Branham. Amen. Google that song sometime. The wheel on the wagon is broken. He said, my wife calls me Restless Winds. Go Google that song sometime. I thank God for a man that was transparent. He said, oh, my, said there was a man down here in New Mexico or Texas, somewhere down there in the West, and he said he thought he was going to be a Marshall Dillon. He said he shot himself in the leg. Now he's going to be a Chester. I thought, well, he knew apparently something about gun smoke. I thank God for a man that was transparent like that. You say, Brother Nathan, it would just convict me and condemn me to have a Christmas tree or anything like that or to put up lights or... That's okay. I'm not telling you have to. I'm not going to judge your liberty by my conscience. I'm just asking you, don't do this to these other brothers and sisters, all right? Oh, praise the Lord. Now, we don't teach, you know, Brother Bram said he didn't go around and teach his children Santa Claus and that Santa Claus was real. Somebody said, asked him if Santa Claus was going to visit his little girl. She said, hey, that's my daddy, mister. That's my daddy, mister. So there was something about it. He was teaching him. He said that one boy, he got up to a certain age, and the pastor wound up telling him, said, Santa Claus isn't real. He said, what about this Jesus? Is he not real too then? So I don't believe. Here's another one of these. I got on, what was it I got on last week, Brother Trevor, about, Target restrooms. From my conscience, just what my family, what I feel like to do my family. I'm not telling you have to do that with your family. Here's another one from the Bryant list of convictions. I don't take my kid and put him on some pedophile's lap in a mall and get their picture taken, because if I was one, that'd be the best job in the world, to be Santa Claus at a mall. But yet people around the message go, here, honey, sit on the old pervert's lap. Now, I'm not calling you an old pervert, but... Brother Layton said, when is that election? I know how his vote's going to go now. Goodness gracious, one down. If I can get about 100 more votes, Brother Layton, maybe I can go to Hawaii. Oh, my. That's just my convictions. I don't have no quote or scripture that says you can't get, thou shalt not get thy picture taken with Santa. That's my conviction. I'm not trying to force it on you this morning. I'm just showing you my reasoning behind it, all right? I don't know who's sitting behind the suit. Now, if it's your grandpa or somebody and they want to dress up like Santa and come downstairs, I don't have nothing that says they can't do that. Just let them know what's real and what's fake. Amen. Let them be able to distinguish between what's make-believe and what's the gospel truth. Well, praise the Lord. Now there's a doctrine going around that only Brother Branham can preach on Sunday mornings in church. And I once again, I'd say, you know, I'd preach that too, but somebody apparently forgot to tell Brother Branham. And you go back and listen to Restoration of the Bride Tree and Satan's Eden, all these different tapes where Brother Branham talks about how good the service was that morning, the best sermon he'd ever heard Brother Neville preach, and how he got 20 sermons out of it, and how he got the inspiration for Restoration of the Bride Tree, and how he wanted to come Sunday morning to hear Brother Neville the Sunday that he preaches Satan's Eden on Sunday night. And he said, if I was ever inspired to hear Brother Neville, it was this morning. It was ordained of God for me to come and listen to Brother Neville preach. I thought, well, goodness gracious, don't condemn my liberty by your conscience then. Oh my, there's a new doctrine going around that if you date more than 3 months, you either have to break up or get married. And I said once again, well, somebody forgot to tell Brother Branham, because in Life Story in 1951 there, in 1950, he said that him and Hope went together for 6 to 8 months. I thought, well, glory, don't condemn me by your conscience. Don't condemn my liberty or somebody else's liberty by your conscience. He said the little heir of the armor packing company, he told the little girl there that was the wash girl with the bare feet and everything, he said, I'll return for you 1 year from today. Oh, goodness, he would have been in trouble, wouldn't he? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody said this humble night stuff that you do over there at the church. Well, my goodness, our church would never do that. We believe that you should wear a church and a tie, a shirt and a tie behind that holy desk. Well, let me read you this one. Brother Branham said in 1953 and in 1955, he said, my goodness, he said, it's just, he said, how many Kentuckians here, you know, talks along, have you ever seen this, have you ever done that? He said, why'd I even wear a tie tonight? We're just all home folks, we're just at home. So I hope I didn't shock anybody this morning, but the same, you say, well, bless God, those pictures we see of Brother Branham, there he is standing with the pillar of fire over his head, and there he was, oh, you're fine, brother, thank you. There, he's just afraid I'll put it back on and get legalistic again on him. Well, there we see him with the pillar of fire over his head with a tie and a suit jacket, yeah. And there was one that visited him down on the Ohio River in a t-shirt. There he was, the first sermon that he preached to a Pentecostal group in a t-shirt and seersucker trousers, and he had that Baptist spirit on him. Oh, I can't preach in this. Said, here he is. So them people don't care how you dress. And the church said, t-shirt and seersucker trousers. You say, I couldn't handle that. Well, you sure couldn't handle John the Baptist coming down in camel's hair and a leather strapped girdle and eating crickets and locusts and wild honey. You'd have thought, oh, goodness gracious, this is the pastor this morning. What did Paul say? For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This one would have came in handy when a local troublemaker was trying to run Brother Rogers out of town, wouldn't it have? Oh, Jesus, help us all. You say, you're getting personal this morning. I didn't call any names. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. This is what the man was trying to say. People wanted to run him out of town on a board. We'll all be there. The problem is we just won't all be judged. Because Christ took some of our judgment before, and we'll be standing there as the bride. Don't know you not that the saints will judge the earth? But I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the judgment. Well, glory. Amen. Paul would have called their names, wouldn't he? Of Hymenaeus and Philetus and some of these guys. But we're not dealing with individuals this morning. We're dealing with spirits. Paul apparently was anointed to know when he needed to draw that line and call names and when he didn't. Until the Lord anoints me to do it, then we'll just keep dealing with spirits. You see, there's a lot of families that have been pushed around and shoved around and ran away from church by strong personalities in this message that they want to come in and be an overlord over everybody in the church and tell them what to do and try to run the preacher and the pastor and the assistant pastor and the deacons out of town. But there's something about Church of the Open Door that we just don't put up with that garbage. As I've said before, that door, Church of the Open Door, it swings both ways. Amen. It opens and then it swings back the other way. And don't let it hit you on the way out if you're a troublemaker. Amen. We don't, you know, there's nobody that I know of that's not welcome here except those two guys from Ontario that try to come around and tear up churches and disrupt services and talk like a bunch of perverts to sisters. I'm not going to allow that. I don't have to allow that. I don't have to allow anybody like that to come into our church. Anybody else is welcome to come in as long as they don't cause troubles and try to disrupt the service and try to run people out of town and run families out and offend families and talk bad to our sisters. And when they do, God has blessed us with some wonderful deacons that are capable of taking care of situations like that. So if you hear Brother Joel say, hey, there's somebody that wants to talk to you out here a minute, you better watch out. Amen. We believe in laying on hands and casting out if it's necessary. Let us therefore, Romans 14 verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Thank God for good, solid gospel teaching in the Scripture, a foundation that we can go back to. Brother Nathan, don't you think them old TVs, Brother Bam said if he had one, he'd shoot him out the door. Don't you think you ought to get up and just blast the people in the congregation that has TVs? To him that's unclean, it's unclean. To him that it's not, it's not. It's what you do with it. Somebody said, well, it's okay as long as you just have a DVD or as long as you don't have an actual antenna or a cable or something hooked into it, then that's okay. But it's when it begins to channel something from the outside, that's when it gets bad. Well, you can put the same filth on the little DVD player and the VHS or whatever you got, Blu-ray or whatever it is. Let's not leave anybody out this morning, all right? You can watch the same filth on YouTube, even if you don't have a TV, you know. Well, then we begin to get addicted to YouTube. Bless God, we wouldn't have cable in our house. Bless God, we're a holy Ghost-filled family. We wouldn't have no antenna for, oh my, you'd have to roll me over in my grave before I'd ever do that. And then they sit there 8 hours clicking through YouTube videos, watching the same filth that they're condemning you for watching on your big box at home. Well, my, it's quiet in here this morning. I preached a sermon one time called The Same Devil Under the Different Name. Doesn't matter what name you want to give it. If you watch filth, it's filth. No matter what size the box or how small the box. Well, we're okay. We just have a 13-inch screen. Oh, okay. So you have to squint to see your perversion. Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe we should just dismiss. Amen. It's the content of what you watch. Amen. The same screens that we have here to be able to, so you can see the quotes and scriptures that I'm reading, so somebody can't slip up and say, now, Brother Branham never said that. We can say, oh, yes, he did. The same ones that we've watched, the 37th flood and 20th century prophet and deep calls to the deep. Somebody could buy this exact same model and exact same size and everything, watch R-rated movies or pornography or whatever on it, all kinds of filth. But yet, what is it? It's what you use it for. Brother Bram said the phone could be used for the wrong thing. The newspaper could be wrong. He said the same things, or whatever it is, it's what you do with it. Amen. So to him, there's nothing unclean of itself. That monitor isn't unclean of itself. It's what you put on it. Makes it clean or unclean. Well, glory. This same guitar here that we can play Amazing Grace on, somebody else could get up, take the same exact model, brand of strings, brand of pick, everything, same amp, same speakers, and play some Led Zeppelin or something on it. What is it? It's only what you make of it is what makes it clean or unclean. The same radio that you play the tapes through and gospel music through, somebody could play, you know, whatever, all kinds of heavy metal and rap with all kinds of bad words and things in it and perversions and prostitution and all kinds of spirits and lust on it. Or they could play some old depressing song that'd make them want to almost go out and jump off a bridge somewhere. It's not the radio that's unclean. It's not the CD player that's unclean or the iPod or the iPad. It's what you do with it that makes it clean or unclean. Well, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now Jesus just told us, judge not that ye be not judged. We've looked at it the last couple of weeks. Now Paul comes around and says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This word judgeth here, it's a Greek word, anakrino. Not just krino, but now anakrino. There's a little addition to it, which means to examine or judge, to investigate, examine, inquire into, scrutinize, sift, question, specifically in a forensic sense of a judge, to hold an investigation, to interrogate, to examine the accused or witness, to judge of, estimate, determine the excellence or defects of any person or thing. Now, some of you may be sitting here having flashbacks to where some brother got up in your business and said, "Now, Brother Jimmy, now, where have you been? What have you been doing? What movies have you been watching? And bless God, if you did this and you did that," and you think, "Oh, goodness, I feel like I'm on the judgment seat here." Some man, that's not what Paul's saying. He didn't say judge people's personal affairs. He said judge all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Once again, we can't make this contradict the other scriptures. It's not that he's judging a person. That he's saying, well, they're not predestinated because of this, and they're not saved because of that. What is it? He that's spiritual, let's read it again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This same word, anakrino, spiritually discerned. Judge, discern, same word. So the natural man, he looks, and he can't discern these things because they have to be spiritually judged. The natural man standing there saying, "Bless God, sister so-and-so, and bless God, brother so-and-so." But the spiritual man, he that is spiritual, judgeth all things, yet he of himself is judged of no man. He judges all things. He's able to look at the circumstance and judge spiritually, not judge naturally. He's not talking about natural, the natural man. He's talking about spiritually. He's judging all things. He's looking at the situation, and he's judging it not by, well, this is how my family does it, and not by, well, this is what the pastor taught us. He's judging it by the word, looking at it from a spiritual perspective and judging and trying the spirits and trying the situation and trying the circumstance. But he's not sitting there with his checklist. Well, sister so-and-so talked nice to me, so she's on the predestinated list. And sister so-and-so, I noticed her skirt was a little short this Sunday, so she's on the not predestinated list. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus says in St. John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." My, we're running out of time this morning, but we'll look at it next week. How do we judge righteous judgment? Not to judge by the appearance, not to judge, well, you know, Brother Layton, I thought his tie was a little too short or a little too long or just right, you know, like the porridge and Goldilocks and the Bears. We want to judge everybody. Well, I didn't like the way this brother, I don't like the style of coat he wears. And this brother, he wears too nice of a coat, and he just has a problem with money, apparently. And this brother over here, he doesn't wear nice enough a coat and doesn't even hardly respect the church. And when we begin to, what are you doing? You're judging according to appearance. But don't judge according to appearance. Judge righteous judgment. How are you going to judge righteous judgment? Judge like Jesus judged. How did Jesus judge? Come back next week and we'll look at it. God bless you. If the musicians would come. You pray for me. I may have to go into witness protection after this sermon. I'll forward you my mailing address and my new name. Amen. You know, he said I got a new name over there. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we'd ask you to help us this morning, Lord. Help us to have the right attitude. Help us, Lord. We look into some of these things, Lord. I know some of the things are harsh and cutting, but yet, Lord, we don't want to look at it as to throw off on an individual or a church or a person or a gathering or a group or whatever it would be, Lord. But we do want to try the spirits to make sure that whatever we say and do, Lord, that it's pleasing unto you, that whatever we're associated around, that whatever we're affiliated with, Lord, that, Lord, that it's something that you would be able to approve of. Lord, that we could go somewhere and be able to go in Jesus' name, that we could be able to act in Jesus' name, that we could be able to, all that we do, Lord, whether it's in word or in deed, help us to be able to do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, if we can't, then maybe we'd be best just to leave it alone. But yet, Lord, if somebody else and their convictions and their what they feel led to do, if they don't do it exactly like we do, Lord, help us to be patient with that brother or sister, Lord, and not to try to push our convictions on them, but Lord, may we just shine a light Lord, there's some things, Lord, in the Word that, Lord, that we just see that it's not just a yes or a no. There's things that we have to make decisions for on our own, Lord, and that you let us go and walk and decide. And Lord, we just want to be careful to judge the spirit that's behind something. If we're going to do something, as Paul said, it's not that one thing's unclean and the other thing's not. It's what we do with it, Lord. It's what the spirit and our motive behind it is, Lord. Help us to constantly be trying, not only the spirits in other people's lives, not only the spirits of those that would come in contact with us, Lord, but let us, Lord, above all, try the spirit that's behind our own motive, that's behind our own objective. When we go to do something, Lord, maybe we can justify it. Well, it's okay because Sister so-and-so does it, or it's okay because Brother Bram said this, and we try to find a loophole for certain things. But Lord, above and beyond all of that, Lord, let us try the Spirit. What's our motive? What's our intention behind it? Is our motive pure? Sometimes even in trying to help somebody, Lord, let us not help them with a selfish motive that, well, Brother so-and-so will see and he'll think that I'm really spiritual. If I help them, maybe if I scratch their back, they'll scratch mine. And oh, Lord, help us to make sure our motives and our objectives, the spirit behind our actions is pure. Help us, Lord. Help us to lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us. Lord, help us to sweep our own steps before we try to go and straighten everybody else out. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. We're human. Our humanity drags us down so many times, Lord. Our human nature, if we're not careful, we begin to lean one direction or the other. But, Lord, may the Holy Spirit bring a balance in our lives by the Word that we could look and see what you would have for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, when we're convicted of a certain thing, we feel led to do it a certain way, Lord, for our family. Lord, help us not to pass judgment on somebody else just because they don't see it the way that we do. Help us to pray for that person. If they're wrong, then, Lord, may you correct them. If we're wrong, may you correct us. If it's just a personal preference that's nothing to do with eternal life, Lord, then just help us to not try to force somebody into our conscience and force their liberty to be bound by our conscience, Lord. But may we stay true to our conscience, Lord, what you're leading us to do and what you've called us to do and to say and how to walk and how to act, Lord. Help us to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we're not battling against brothers or against sisters or against even a sinner out here on the street, Lord. It's not flesh and blood that we battle against, Lord, but that there are spirits of oppression and torment and confusion that would try to come in around the bride and confuse them and hinder them, Lord, and help us to try those spirits. Help us to recognize we're in a spiritual warfare and we have to judge things spiritually, not just by the way they look or not just by the appearance, Lord, but help us to judge by the Word, Father, to make decisions by the Word, to be led by the Spirit, not by our own lusts or our own motives or our own desires, Father. But, Lord Jesus, may the Holy Spirit come and guide every step that we take, we pray. Lead our families, lead our decisions, lead our homes, I pray. Lord, some of these things may be cutting this morning, and maybe some people may not understand why would Brother Nathan even get into some of those things. But Lord, help them to realize, Lord, I'm just trying to show this balance, Lord, that we can't be bound down by somebody else's opinion, but it has to be something scriptural. It has to be something we can take back to the Word and have a foundation for. Oh, Lord, help us not to go back into a bondage of a denominational or man-made creed or dogma, but Lord, help us to rejoice in the freedom and the liberty that you've called us to, that we can worship under the freedom of your Word, Lord. Oh, Lord, some people look at it and think, oh, it's rules and it's this and it's that, but oh, Lord, they don't know what it's like to be free until the Son has made them free. They don't know what it's like to have liberty until they come and in the presence of God, the Spirit of God, they feel the liberty and freedom of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, we pray. Help us to continue to grow closer to you, Lord. Deeper depths and higher heights, Lord, not just of an intellectual understanding, but of a true revelation of your Word, Lord, that it can draw us closer to you. Lord, we don't want just head knowledge. We want a relationship with you, Lord. Help us, we pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, help us this morning to check our motives, our objectives, the spirits that are anointing us, Lord. Help us to make sure it's the Holy Spirit, we pray. Oh, Papa.
for God. Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed. You made me whole. Oh, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Oh, now I know. Lord, I need you so. Papa God. Why don't we stand and worship him this morning? Just sing it to him. Oh, Papa God. Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. Oh, you touched my heart. Lord, you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Just worship him this morning. He's worthy of it. Oh, Papa God. From my old life, you forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. One day.
brother, I guess a couple people had asked Brother Nathan if I'd sing that song that I sang Wednesday night. So it wouldn't be complete if I didn't give you a little background about the inspiration of what made me put these couple words together. So Brother Nathan was preaching, it's probably been about a month ago, and he quoted this, God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Get all the things away from you. Say, Mr. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus Christ stripped you of every power that you had when he died at Calvary, and you're nothing but a bluff. You can't bluff me, amen. I'm made out of that stuff that don't bluff. That's what come from Calvary. Hallelujah. Don't bluff and don't receive it. So I sang this around the house for a couple days, and got some of the kids singing it. But like I said, I had kind of shelved it and thought, well, one day we'll have Sister Chloe sing it. And, well, Wednesday night, this came to me that I should sing this, and so that's how it came about, and that's why I pulled a Brother Hoover and put the musicians on the spot. And so maybe it'll bless you. So you help me out here, key of F.
Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. Yes, made out of stuff that don't bluff. Well, I'm made out of stuff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. Well, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Well, I'm made out of stuff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. Yes, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made. You can be dismissed. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. Well, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Yes, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. Well, I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water. Made out of stuff. stuff. Yes, I'm made out of stuff that don't look how it's made.